Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to have you with us here for another Read the Word. I know that you can see Leanne's face and hear my voice. Make sure you put it in the view that shows both of ours at the same time.
Yeah.
Studio view.
I believe it is.
Alright. And welcome. Welcome to Read the Word. We're in the life of Jesus and we're about to enter the crucifixion. And I'm on my job driving a truck right now. Just started a new venture. So, Sister Ann's going to do the reading. I'm going to do the commenting.
And here,
we're all going to do the growing. Whoa.
And here comes YouTube now. Good morning.
Hit that mute button.
I did.
All right. So, let's get started. Hold your Bible up. We'll make our confession. Oh, wait. Sister Leanne's got a prayer. She's going to pray. And then she'll get started reading.
I have a question.
Yes.
Why am I only hearing you through my phone and not through Zoom?
Oh, hang the phone up, please.
We're getting this figured out. We are. Are you with us now?
Yes, I'm with us now.
All right. And your video needs to be turned on.
My video is not going to make a difference if it's on or off. It's black in there.
Oh, I thought you said to put it on the view where it could see both of us. That's why I said that.
If you put it on the view to see both of them, see both of our videos at the same time. Oh, very glad.
All right.
Thank you. I declare fog lift now in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. Did I have the title on here? So tonight we are, this is day 314. And tonight we're going to be reading Luke 22 and John 13.
Are you going to read your prayer or are you saving that for the end?
Oh, what prayer did you want me to read?
The one you said you were going to read from Brother Jesse.
Oh. What prayer was that? Okay, I was going to say just the declaration that I just read to you. It wasn't really a prayer. It's just a confession. All right. So anyway, here we go. Luke 22.
And this is why some people never get too much farther in their life because they get stuck in that moment and try to prove a point about who said what it is, and let's just read.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Luke 22, verse 1. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew near, which is called Passover. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered, Judas, surnamed Iscariot, who was numbered among the 12. So he went his way and conferred with the chief priests and captains how he might betray him to them. And they were glad and agreed to give him money. Then he promised and sought opportunity to betray him to them in the absence of the multitude. Verse 7. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us, that we may eat." So they said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare?" And he said to them, "Behold, when you have entered the city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house which he enters. Then you shall say to the master of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' Then he will show you a large furnished upper room there made ready." So they went and found it as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. Then he said to them, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer."
Pause for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
We need to make sure you put the verses in as you read every so often, so we can follow them. Because I was trying to follow you on the heads up display. That's a joke, but it's a pretty good one. I want to stop right here because this is such an important place, an important thing to remember, that Jesus said, "With fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you."
Mm-hmm.
Right? And sometimes Jesus has more of a desire to eat the Passover with us than what we do with them. Many times we make the communion just juicing crackers. I encourage any of you who are in any form of leadership in your church to continually say to people, we gotta slow this down. We gotta slow this down. We got to we got to have a fervent desire to receive this from Jesus, like he did with the disciples.
Amen.
You know? And it makes it meaningful. It makes it very meaningful. And never once in the history of the world that somebody sought after God to go closer to him. But what God met them at that same point. And I just encourage you, when you receive communion, just slow down. And use Jesus' words. With fervent desire, Jesus, I desire to eat this with you. Watch how much difference it begins to make in the communion process. In Jesus' name. Right. Here we go.
Verse 16, "For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. Then he took the cup and gave thanks and said, 'Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes.' And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body, which I give for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. But behold, the hand of my betrayer is with me on the table. And truly the Son of Man goes as it has been determined, but woe to that man by whom he is betrayed.' Then they began to question among themselves which of them it is who would do this thing."
Now,
But there was also rivalry among them. And then verse 24. There was also rivalry among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors. But not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. Verse 27. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as one who serves. But you are those who have continued with me in my trials. And I bestow upon you a kingdom just as my Father bestowed upon me, that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom and sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Verse 31, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I have prayed for you that your faith should not fail. And when you have returned to me, strengthen your brethren. But he said to him, Lord, I am ready to go with you, both to prison and to death. Then he said, I tell you, Peter, the rooster will not crow this day before you will deny me three times that you know me. Verse 35, the wallet bag and the sword. And he said to them,
what? The what?
The wallet, bag, and sword.
Oh, wallet.
Verse 35. And he said to them, when I sent you without money bag, sack, and sandals, did you lack anything? So they said, nothing. Then he said to them, but no, he who has a money bag, let him take it back, and likewise a sack, and he who has no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. For I say to you that this which is written must still be accomplished in me. And he was numbered in the with the transgressors, for the things concerning me have an end.
Wow, hold on. For the things concerning me have an end. That's a prophetic statement for somebody that's listening. That statement can mean this situation for you right has ended right now tonight, and you just received an anointing from God when I said that to you. Or it might mean that you missed the rapture and it's in the tribulation and you're like, all I got to do is make it to day 1260, whatever the day is, I think that's what it is, the midpoint of the tribulation, and there'll be another rapture. All of us can look at that verse of Jesus, that statement he just said, and say, every purpose has an end.
For the things concerning me have an end.
Have an end.
Mm-hmm.
And everything concerning you has an end. Everything. And you have the ability to see it right now. What I wanted you to, why I interrupted the reading is, because when you feel that anointing come on you, if I tell to come on me, Leanne and I are believing God for some things, and we're believing for some things to leave us too, to realize, wait, that's got an end. That's got an end point. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
And you can be encouraged in that right out of Jesus' statement. He's talking about the disciples to lack him. And here we go.
Verse 38. Then they said, Lord, "Look, here are two swords." And he said to them, "It is enough."
So why two swords?
Mm-hmm. And coming out. And what? And coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and he came to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." 47, the betrayal and arrest at Gethsemane. And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with the sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, "Permit even this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Verse 52. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me, but this is your hour and the power of darkness." Then having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, "This man was also with him." But he denied him, saying, "Woman, you do not know, I do not know him." Verse 58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, "You are also of them." But Peter said, "Man, I am not." Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, "Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean." But Peter said, "Man, I do not know what you're saying." And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. Wow, I can't imagine.
Because you got to know, going through Peter's mind, I'm about to get the same thing that Jesus got, and I just looked at him and said, "I'm ready to go with you, Jesus."
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Peter knew that look that Jesus gave him on a regular basis, like, "Brother Peter, come on." And, you know, when Jesus looked up at Peter after he said that, he's like, "Man, I just got that look, and that means I am going to suffer like this." And then when they started coming to expose him, he thinks they're going to take him off the tie with Jesus.
Mm-hmm. Verse 61, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, "Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Then Peter went out and wept bitterly. Now the men who held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, "Prophesy, who is it that struck you?" And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, If you are the Christ, tell us. But he said to them, if I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then they all said, are you then the Son of God? And he said to them, you rightly say that I am. And they said, what further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his mouth. Well, yes, you have.
And you still don't believe.
And still don't believe. My goodness. All right. And now we're moving to John 13. And I know I have that in my Bible someplace.
Well, while this man is turning there, you think about everything that Jesus had to get the disciples ready for.
Oh, my.
That was there.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, when the growth and development is happening in you, like God wants it to happen, you're going to find it's going to pull everything in your heart and soul and center to make it happen. There'll be a severe struggle inside of you to do it in your flesh. And as is the case of the world with everybody, you'll probably try it a couple times in your flesh. And then say, nope. I'm never going to do that in my flesh again. So then you make the wonderful statement of the Word of God. Flesh is flesh, and that which is spirit is spirit. And that is the place you will find yourself over and over learning to say, which I'm sure Peter was trying to learn right then. Learn to say, Jesus, help me walk in the spirit. If I want to fulfill the lust of the flesh.
Amen.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Let's
keep going. John 13. The master becomes a servant. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he would depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from God and was going to God, rose from supper and laid aside his garments, took a towel and girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. Then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, are you washing my feet? Jesus answered and said to him, what I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this. Verse 8. Peter said to him, you shall never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore, he said, you are not all clean. Verse 12, So when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say well, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most assuredly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, happy are you if you do them. I do not speak concerning all of you. I know whom I have chosen, but that the scripture may be fulfilled, he who eats bread with me has lifted up his heel against me. Verse 19. Now I tell you before it comes that when it does come to pass, you may believe that I am he. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who receives whomever I send receives me, and he who receives me receives him who sent me. When Jesus had said these things, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, most assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me. Then the disciples looked at one another perplexed about whom he spoke. Verse 23. Now there was leaning on Jesus's bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore motioned to him to ask who it was of whom he spoke. Then leaning back on Jesus' breast, he said to him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, it is he to whom I shall give a piece of bread when I have dipped it. And having dipped the bread, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. Now after the piece of bread, Satan entered him. Then Jesus said to him, what you do, do quickly. But no one at the table knew for what reason he said this to him. For some thought because Judas had the money box that Jesus had said to him, buy those things we need for the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Having received the piece of bread, he then went out immediately, and it was night. Verse 31.
What do you think about that? They probably had the thought. What did he just say to her? He's going to take the top of the bread, and there's something in that. And you know, Peter's sitting there going, wait, we fed the 5,000 that day, and we got in the boat, and he was talking about bread, and we were all saying, why didn't you remember the baby bring the bread? But then he said, I'm not talking about bread, I'm talking about the leaven of the Pharisees.
Mm-hmm.
And so on the inside, Peter's doing this and saying, why did Judas just give? I don't believe they did.
Oh, I don't think so either.
Personally, I don't believe they do. Anyways, keep going.
The new commandment, verse 31. So when he had gone out, Jesus said, now the Son of Man is glorified and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself and glorify him immediately. Little children, I shall be with you a little while longer. You will seek me. And as I said to the Jews, where I am going, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. Verse 36, this is Jesus predicts Peter's denial. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus answered him, where I am going, you cannot follow me now, but you shall follow me afterward. Peter said to him, Lord, why can I not follow you now? I will lay down my life for your sake. Jesus answered him, will you lay down your life for my sake? Most assuredly, I say to you, the rooster shall not crow till you have denied me three times.
And it started out by Jesus washing Peter's feet. And Peter saying, wash all of
them. Yeah. Yeah. And that was the end of...
Right.
Sorry, that was the end of our reading tonight.
Okay. So that's the circle of wagons then.
Mm-hmm.
No matter how many times you feel like you've betrayed God, He has never betrayed you. And I encourage you, if you feel like you've betrayed Him, just stand up and chase God like you used to. I feel that somebody once and they said, yeah, Pastor, I felt really bad when I tried that the last time. I'm like, have you not learned anything about life since then? Well, yeah, I learned something about life since then. And I said, well, like what? I'm like, well, I used to bounce checks all the time and I've learned that if there's no money in there, put it right in checks. I'm like, so you're learning about life? Yeah. Boy, you've learned about God too. It's the condemnation of the enemy that caused you to throw your hands up and quit. He's the one that's causing it all to come to pass anyways.
Amen.
Just because He's sending fiery darts to stop you. So get up. And you're like, really? I get up. I'm like, well, and?
Go ahead.
Did you repent and pray the blood of Jesus and everything? Well, yeah. Well, then get up. It's either going to be by grace, or it's going to be because all of your own efforts. And I can tell you right now, it's not because of your own efforts. It never will be. And the sooner we can come to the understanding, hold it, this isn't about my efforts. This is about His grace. The sooner the blessing of the Lord can happen in every area of our life. That's what Jesus' righteousness is for. That's what His grace is for. That's why He puts His anointing on us, in us.
And amen.
Thank you, Father, for that.
Thank you, Father.
So, like we do every time we come here, we want to give you the opportunity to make Jesus the Lord of your life. And, you know, there's all kinds of statements that people make about this. You know, make Jesus the Lord of your life, become a Christian, you know, become a believer. All of those are statements that match that. And so what we're going to do tonight is we're going to pray with you because we want to be sure that you're right with God. And we want you to know, hey, I am right with God. And really what's getting ready to happen to you, you're getting ready to have God Almighty come and live on the inside of you.
Amen.
And that's the most wonderful thing that could ever happen to you, right there. And so you'll pray this prayer with me and Sister Lynn. Then in a few minutes, if you mean it from the depths of your heart, just say it to God. You're going to follow my words because I've been instructed by the Holy Spirit to use these specific words. But you just follow our words, and those words will lead you into the prayer that will change your life. Father, in Jesus' name.
Father, in Jesus' name.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
According to John 3:16.
When I believe in you.
When I believe in you.
You give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting life.
And I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
Here's your voice. Make the declaration. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Open up your arms and just say this. I receive all of your love, your mercy, and your grace.
I receive all of your love, your mercy, and your grace, Lord.
Functioning in every part of my life.
Functioning in every part of my life.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
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 In Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. Welcome to the family of God. We are glad you're here. We're glad you prayed that prayer with us. It's the first day of the rest of the best of your life. And, you know, God Almighty himself just came to live in you. When you said, Jesus, I received you into my life, you received all of God's abundant blessings into your life. And you know what that means? That means he is living in you in his fullness. Can you imagine the thought? Jesus, who died on the cross for you, actually wants to come and live inside of you.
Hallelujah.
To make you his temple.
Hallelujah.
And so, welcome. Welcome, 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 welcome. So, when Jesus came in you, he came in all of his fullness, and all of his blessing, and he's the light of the world, so now light is filling you. And he's the author and finisher of the faith, so faith has filled you. The glory of God that is around the throne is the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And that is now filling you. Jesus literally gave you his righteousness that he received from the Father himself. And now you get to live by his righteousness. And you might not understand how amazing that is, but that is amazing. In Jesus' mighty name.
Jesus' mighty
now,
name.
How do you live for God now? Because that's the next question that people always ask me. Well, Pastor, help me know how to live for God. Well, when you live for God every day, is you just walk in the path that he gives you. Just walk in this path. You wake up in the morning and just pray and say, Father, come and live in me today. And guess what? He does. He actually comes. Well, he's going to be in you every day anyways. But he will come and make your house his abode. Your being, you are a spirit. That's my name. My spirit's name is Samuel John Gotham. Your spirit is your name. You are a spirit. You have a soul. That's your mind, your will, and your emotion. Get them under control immediately. And you, all y'all live in a body. And that body is earth suit that you're walking around in. That gives you permission to be on this earth. And you and I just, every day, we look to Jesus and say, help me walk with you. And he says, sure enough, will do. Sure enough, will. Sure enough, will. And then he lives within you. And now, God's not trying to get through your thick skull. God lives on the inside of you. To live and to do of his good pleasures, what the Bible says. And just when you wake up in the morning and say, Father, help me walk with you today. And he'll say, all right, where are we going? And he'll say, well, I'm going to work. All right, I'll stand there right beside you. And he does.
Mm-hmm.
He does. I know he sits on the throne, but he also stands beside you. And here's the other cool part. While standing right beside you, he's in you. Because our God is omnipresent, everywhere present. He's a very present help in the time of need. And he's always good. Well, it was good to have you with us today. This is what we tell you. Remember to like, subscribe, and hit the bell. That way you'll always be notified every time we go live. Another one that you should read the words. And come and join us. We have an evening program every night. And we're always studying something that God gave us as a subject to study. And we want you to be there with us. Because it'll be a blessing to you. In Jesus' mighty name. All right. That's all we got. Till we see you again tomorrow morning. Remember, Sunday morning. We always have communion here. I'm read the word, so get you some grape juice and some bread. Be prepared this Sunday. Get some grape juice and bread. Be ready to receive the communion elements with us tomorrow morning to read the word. Now, till we see you again, we say, remember this, we love you.
We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.
And Jesus is Lord. Yes.